I'm joined by Hamish de Breton Gordon from the counter chemical warfare company Secure Bio. Hamish, the US appears to be wobbling on its red line over chemical weapons in Syria. Do you think it was bluffing last summer?
No, I don't think so. I think the red line issue is hugely significant to the whole chemical weapons piece in Syria at the moment. I think from an opposition perspective, they are hoping and they think the red line is pretty thin. I think the US and the UK think the red line is pretty thick and hoping to make it as thick as possible. And I think Assad and the regime are adjusting their red line to the movements of the US. So I think that's a real challenge there. But if we put it into perspective, people like myself and a lot of others went to war in Iraq only just over 10 years ago on some pretty spurious WMD intelligence, in inverted commas. So I think everybody from the US government, the UK government and other governments are very circumspect. And to get, if the red line is crossed, and if as Obama said, that would be a game changer, and getting ground troops involved in Syria would be a hugely challenging and difficult area. And I think, I'm sure Obama and Cameron are trying to avoid that at all costs.
Would you accept that the Obama administration appears to be wobbling its red line on this?
I'm not sure I would. I genuinely think that if chemical weapons, that's conventional chemical weapons, are used in a meaningful way, I'm sure the US and the UK and others will react. However, as we've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks, there's a lot of information and counter-information, and none of it is terribly clear. Now, the UN sat in Cyprus to go and do sampling is absolutely the only sort of conventional way of doing this. Without hard evidence that conventional chemical weapons have been used, although my view is that what I've termed improvised chemical weapons have probably been used by both sides, and under the Chemical Weapons Convention, that would be a red line crosser, but it's very difficult to prove. And the huge challenge is, it's very difficult to prove who's actually delivered these conventional chemical weapons or improvised ones. Both sides are probably doing it. The opposition, obviously, to get the red line crossed, so there will be intervention by the US and the UK. The regime, part of their arsenal, their chemical and biological arsenal is hugely significant. And if they thought they could use that to win the war, then they would probably use it. So, and if they can prove that the opposition are using chemical weapons, then it sort of makes their sort of use, well, acceptable is probably the wrong word, but that's the way they might view it. So I think there's so much confusion at the moment. Nobody really knows what's happening. You will have seen on Twitter in Syria and elsewhere, every day I get sent stuff from inside country saying, this is what's happening. But none of it is absolutely conclusive. So that's the challenge. So I don't think the US are prevaricating. Well, they might be prevaricating, but I don't think they're changing their view on the red line. It's just very difficult to prove. And that step of crossing it in intervention is something I don't think anybody in the world wants at this stage.
The UN team set up to investigate these claims has been denied access to Syria. It said it's going to investigate soil samples and even go to refugee camps. Is it possible to establish whether chemical weapons have been used without actually going to Syria?
Well, I mean, there are two issues here. Is it possible, from soil samples or clothes samples to identify whether chemical weapons have been used? Technically, yes. Absolutely, that is not a problem. The difficulty with all of this, and I think there have been reports of the UK obtaining samples and then being analysed, and I think the Foreign Secretary announced that in the House 10 days or so ago. But the difficulty is actually the chain of evidence, and by going to refugee camps or speaking to refugees outside country, it's that chain of evidence to make it absolutely 100% sure that whatever you find in those soil samples or clothes samples or whatever, has come from X and has been delivered by X or Y is virtually impossible. So, you know, the only true way this can be done is by the UN getting in on the ground and doing it. And, you know, is Assad going to let the UN come and do it? Well, you know, I don't see it at the moment, to be perfectly honest. But that strikes me as being, obviously what you're suggesting could build up a body of evidence, but, you know, it's that it would not, in my professional opinion, that sort of evidence would be very difficult to somebody to use as crossing the red line in a game changer. So very good background, very good to build up the sort of portfolio of evidence, but I don't think it would be, you know, demonstrative enough to allow somebody, you know, without doubt to say, yes, this chemical weapon has been used here by the regime or by the opposition.
The regime, of course, says that it's the opposition that have fired chemical weapons. Britain dismisses that as claiming that it was friendly fire that poisoned some of the Syrian soldiers. How credible do you think that claim of friendly fire is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is an explanation. I am not so sure that, you know, that perhaps the opposition haven't been using what I'd call improvised chemical weapons. There have been lots of reports of CL-17 being used, which is, you know, domestic chlorine, for want of a better explanation. And there is evidence perhaps that organophosphates have been used. Now, organophosphates are, to all intents and purposes, nerve agent. Sarin, the nerve agent in question here, was developed by the Germans in, I think, 1938 as a pesticide. So pesticides which have organophosphates are pretty much nerve agents in all but word. And lots of people sadly die all around the world from pesticide poisoning. So they're again, that's the without, you know, empirical evidence of analysing this stuff, it's very difficult to say. I think you know, it is potentially plausible that both sides have tried to frame the others, whether either by using improvised chemical weapons or actual chemical weapons. Why I'm slightly circumspect, you know, if sarin was, you know, a conventional chemical weapon like sarin was used, you know, you would expect to see many more casualties than we have seen. And you know, interestingly enough, I think it's been reported about 70,000 people have been killed in the conflict in the 2 years thus far. You know, how many have been killed by improvised or by conventional chemical weapons? Well, I mean, we're talking in the fairly low numbers, you know, 10, 20 maybe. So when it looks at that, why is it such a big story? Obviously, the fear of chemical and biological weapons and is what puts it in people's minds. And Obama said it's a potential red line crosser. But, you know, I think those are some of the issues that we need to consider a bit more and bottom out, perhaps.
There have been reports that the US has been involved in training rebels and opposition forces in Syria to help them secure chemical weapons sites. Is that something you can confirm, comment on?
I can't. I've seen the same reports I expect that you've seen. You know, I think it was widely reported some time ago, probably, you know, 3 or 4 months ago, that was the plan. Whether it's been done or not, I couldn't say. But I would say it makes a lot of sense. I think it makes a lot of sense to give a capability to the opposition to, in order, you know, if regime change happens, this is going to be a critical area. Therefore, to have people on the ground, you know, who know how to do this and know what they're doing in this area will be hugely important. You know, similarly, to have you know, a way of monitoring this, you know, before regime change, strikes me as being a sensible thing to do.
Okay, Hamish, thanks very much for your time.
Okay.